I'm a green bean.
This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. They've gathered all the nonsense from around the world to mock it. This is The Nate Darling Show.
You guys were excellent today.
Hey, thanks a lot. We'll see you inside.
Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friday episode. A little bit more upbeat today, I hope. We have far less death talk than the last show, so... But it had to happen. We can't lose somebody that important to the show and not say something. So.
Oh, no. Plus, Red Fox said you're going to feel mighty stupid when you die of nothing anyway.
Coming up on the show today, sometimes, you know, when you get a birthday cake, it evokes a lot of emotion at a supermarket. We'll talk about that. Plus, is it time to start getting wine for your cats? If it is, there's probably a group that you need to talk to about. plus a wonderful Florida corner for you. Okay, that involves yams and grudges.
Yams.
Yams.
Look at those yams.
Christiana joining us again. Welcome.
Yo.
Jason and Kareem.
Good to be here.
Yes.
What's going down?
Hey, have you heard what our friend Sam has been doing? Our friend Sam, who is exploring the summer of Sam.
Making horrible videos.
Can't believe
Alamo.
He went to the Cracker Barrel.
Is he murdering people?
He is not. He, and I didn't know this part until I ran into his boss when I was at the conference in Las Vegas. I knew Sam was on a cross-country trip with his friend Ethan, who I've met. And basically what happened is Sam flew to Florida, and Ethan is moving back from Florida. So he and Ethan are driving back with all of Ethan's stuff across the country, making stops. And one of their videos that a lot of people really seem to enjoy, except I guarantee for the person at the Alamo that they asked it, he goes up and goes, "Can you tell me where the basement of the Alamo is?"
So ridiculous.
It's like, yes, because they haven't heard that 8,000 times.
The funny thing was when the guy's like, "Yeah, well, we do have a basement." It was like, he wasn't expecting that answer, I don't think.
Yeah, the guy is like, oh, God, here comes another one. With his tight pants.
And his hipster beard.
His hipster beard and his no sleeves going around. So, yes, he's traveling across the country, spreading mirth to different places. Christiana, what have you been up to? It's been a couple weeks since we've seen you.
I went to camp last weekend, which turned out to be the same camp that Jason went to as a kid, so that was cool.
Yeah.
In Pescadero, which is a little tiny town I've never been to before, but which was adorable. There were many mosquitoes. I did not get bit too many times.
Nice.
So I'm appreciative. I get one on my neck, which is weird. But I covered myself up like a mummy and covered every possible, like,
entrance.
Everything but a hat, you
nice.
Know?
Nice.
She's a beekeeper.
Right.
Yeah, like a beekeeper thing, which next time I'm going to just take a full body mosquito net and walk around with it. But it was fun. I had to plan some stuff, plan some stuff for a nonprofit I volunteer with. So it was just grown-ups there, and we made our own campfire and s'mores. And which, by the way, if I'm going to give you a little secret to life here. So
do tell.
So take a note. Ritz crackers, peanut butter cups with the roasted marshmallow.
Oh.
You're welcome.
Oh, sort of everything all in one.
Change your life.
Chocolate,
it's
salted,
s'mores,
peanut butter.
Up, like leveled up. I mean, you can't beat the classic.
Sure.
But if you're going to get a little crazy.
Get a little crazy.
Do that.
It's a nice alternative.
I highly, highly recommend it. So yeah, that's what I did. I did that last weekend. That was fun. Looking forward to the holiday weekend coming up.
Yes.
I do love the 4th of July in Sacramento. It's my favorite day here. It's the whitest thing ever.
It is.
In East Sac, I'll tell you that.
Well, sure.
It's the single whitest. I mean, it's in an already painfully non-representative California neighborhood.
Non-representative of Sacramento neighborhood.
Right, exactly. But man, it's cute. Reminds me of the 4th of July I spent once in Gambier, Ohio.
It's quaint.
Where everybody's in the parade and then sits down to watch the parade again and then stands up and walks in the parade and then sits down. It's weird. But adorable. It's cute. I like it. It makes me happy.
Kareem, what you been up to?
Let me see. Saturday, one of my friends actually ran for the Democratic committee.
Ah. How'd that go?
One.
Nice.
He was fourth. Yeah, he said he was fourth.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that. That's great.
Yeah. And so he had a celebration barbecue Saturday, so I went by and hung out with him.
Did he have a recycling drive for all of his mail that he sent out?
He
that
did not.
But, so much mail.
But I don't think he sent out a lot of mail.
Oh, he did. He did. For a central committee race, yes. Yes, he did.
Okay. I'll have to ask him.
If you can, go for it. Yeah. Mail works.
Yeah. So
I applaud.
He had a friend that had an app that was really good we were talking about.
Okay. Paperless spamming.
Yeah.
An app for what?
For
you enjoyed that.
For campaigning?
For campaigning, yeah.
I
met the guy. He's yeah. It's we'll talk about it out
okay.
later.
Talk about it offline.
I'll take my answer. We'll talk about it offline.
Sounds very uninteresting to the rest of us.
To the rest of you, yeah. Then went to another barbecue Saturday night at another friend's house. Just kind of a kickback. Did a little DJing.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah. I can't do back. It for crap.
Kick sesh.
Yeah. And that's about it. I'm going to San Francisco Thursday for work.
There you go.
For luncheon for new hires.
So yesterday.
Yeah. So I get to rub elbows with the big people.
Nice.
Maybe figure out what I need to do to get me a project management position.
Ooh, yeah. Network your way up, my man. Network
it
up. Jason, what about you? Anything fun? Anything exciting other than enjoying the new house, being a new homeowner and a prospective father?
Yeah. Well, so I did my first real fatherly thing. Like, so Chris and I, we got a great deal on a stroller, like combo set. With a carrier and a car seat. So that was awesome. We like really good deal. Like 40, like we paid 40% of what the actual price was. So,
nice.
That's really great. Saved like $200. So there's that. That was awesome. So we did that. Then I put that together that night, which was fatherly,
manly and fatherly.
Mm-hmm. And then, and then I also put together the baby's crib. And that was, also like, it's one of those, it's the first thing that I've done so far that makes me feel like a father. I mean, there's one thing that I did, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're still debating on which one of us did that.
Yeah. It wasn't me.
Oh, we have a running joke that his kid is my kid.
So putting the crib together and the stroller, it was really like, wow, this is happening. You know, I felt the baby kick a couple of times now too. So there's like stuff like that that's starting to happen where it's starting to become a lot more real quick. So
people are always like, oh, it's magical. The baby kicked and feels great. And every time my baby did, I was like, ah, get it out. It's gross. No, it's an alien. The baby like roll, like the little kick is cute. When they get to a certain size, they start rolling over. You just see this mask go like bleh, from one side of your gut to the other. It's horrifying.
It was semi-horrifying when I felt the kick. I was like, I thought something kicked the room almost because it was so weird. Like, because it was that you could feel that it was a sentient being.
Yeah.
Like in
and
a body.
And your wife's got to put up with that like every day.
And that's why.
That's why you owe her for the rest of your life.
And that's why I make dinner for her every night.
That's why.
You have to see if as the baby gets older, my kid like. Later in pregnancy, every afternoon got the hiccups, which is a weird feeling.
That is the oddest thing I have ever heard.
It is because I was like, oh, is she kicking? Like, my kid's got rhythm. She's going to be a dancer because it was really like regular kicking. Yeah. So, and then as it turns out, little tiny fetuses can hiccup. So she'd hiccup. And something hiccuping on your bladder nonstop in the afternoon.
Oh, that's probably not fun.
Yeah. So uncomfortable.
Not fun.
Miracle
at all.
Of life or some crap, whatever.
Yeah. I've been busy the past 2 weeks. I had nothing to do with babies. I did go to an A's game in Oakland.
Ooh.
Yes. Went with my lovely fiance and met up with my friends Hootie and Amy and went to see the Angels and A's. Very exciting. The Angels won. Tim Lincecum, his first game back in the major leagues.
Wasn't he a Giant?
He was a giant.
And now he's a what?
He's an angel.
Really? When did that happen? Did he get kicked out of the major leagues? Sorry, I haven't been paying
attention. No. He had hip surgery last year and his contract expired.
Oh.
Yeah, and San Francisco's stupid.
Well, they wanted him back as a reliever and he wants to be a starter.
Yeah.
So that's why he's with the Angels. So we get to see a win there, which was good. And amongst other things, of course, went to Las Vegas, had a really good time, nice mixer. It was so hot the Tuesday that we arrived. How hot was it? It was so hot they moved the first night mixer for the conference I was at from outside near the dolphin habitat where it's normally is at the Mirage into One Oak Nightclub, which is one of those nightclubs in Vegas where you would pay a Kardashian $50,000 to show up and go, woo!
No, you'd pay her to sit and look bored, which is cooler than going woo. She just sit in the corner, like carefully.
Well, we had a whole room full of marketing professionals who looked just like that.
Were they Instagramming everything?
No, there was actually they had a photo booth set up where you could do
hashtag ad hashtag Vegas
kitschy photos printed up. Like 8x10 photos. And my boss was like, did you do a photo? And I'm like, no, I did not.
Did you do a big kissy face one to bring home?
No.
To your lady for you, like,
me. Oh, no. People were doing this in groups. And I'm like, nope.
Nope.
And as I was checking into the hotel, my phone rings. And I'm like, hey, I'm just checking in now. And my boss goes, hey, we're all going to, we're going over to get tickets for Britney Spears. Do you want me to get you one?
And he said, yes, right?
And I said, thank you so much for thinking of me, but no.
That's why you had no one to take a picture with. You reject all the fun stuff.
Oh, man.
No, that night I went to
twice. What? What?
That's fine.
I had to have a talk with my daughter because she was playing with my Britney Spears doll, and I was like, that's mommy's.
Oops.
Put it back.
She did it again.
Right. I'm going to guess, highlight of my week. We had a company dinner at a very fancy Italian restaurant in the Venetian, but I don't eat Italian food. So my dinner that night was two pieces of prosciutto and four IPAs.
Was that awesome?
9% IPAs. Yes, it was. But that wasn't the end of my evening. My evening then required that I go to something called the Sam Jam, which my boss wanted to go to. It's one of the production music companies has this party at a nightclub at Caesars. And I went over to Sam Jam and I had, how many Moscow mules did I have, Jason?
I'm going to say 5.
Kareem, how many Moscow mules did I have?
7.
Christiana.
Oh, God, I feel like you put it on Facebook. I don't know. You posted that you really liked them, so probably not too many.
Those I had Moscow mules 2 nights in a row.
You have 4.
You are correct. I had 4 Moscow mules.
Oh my God.
Winner.
On top of 4 9% IPAs.
So you were feeling good.
Well, here's the
and
thing.
And then you were feeling bad.
Yeah, you know, I made it to the 7:30 a.m. event the next day, and it was fine. As I told my fiance when she said, are you going to be okay? And I said, of course I am. I'm a man. I do not recall that part of the conversation,
but it sounds about right.
But I did call her. She was in Philadelphia, by the way. And I called her on my way back to the room.
And you were like, I'm sorry I didn't take an 8x10 picture for you.
No. Here's why I called. And granted, I'd had a lot of alcohol. As I'm walking back, clearly I'm staggering a bit. And I remember maybe, as it's been pieced back together to me, I remember maybe 10% of the trip back.
Oh, I remember those days.
So, yeah, right? And so I have this I go and I lean on this railing and I have this African-American girl and she's with another girl and she comes over and she says, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. And she goes, do you want us to bring you back to your room? And I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm fine. And then she says, well, we can help you get back to the room and we can give you a show for just a couple hundred. And I was like, No. Thank you so much for caring. I remember saying, thank you so much for caring. You're very nice. I'm going to be okay. that was the point at which I called my fiance.
Yeah, that's when you call your fiance.
To let her know. To let her know that I had turned down the offer. Because at the time, it seemed like the thing to do.
I once didn't realize I'd been propositioned and actually gave the lady my phone. And she put her phone number in my phone and then called herself. And then I realized afterwards, like, everything kind of came together. I was like, women that are attractive like that don't just come up to me like that and give me their information.
Aww, well, come on.
Like, no, but I mean, like, this was like way, like, very like, hey, let's hang out. I don't have anybody that I hang out. Let's hang out a little bit. And she'd been walking with her cousin who walked away. And so she called me, and I was so worried. I got so worried that she was going to find where I lived because she saw where I turned up. And I called my now wife, and I was like, hey, babe, I just want to tell you what happened because... I don't want, like, I feel really bad, and I think that I don't want you to think that I was propositioning hookers, but I think that's what happened.
See, here's the thing. I felt very good about going, no.
I know.
No, thank you, ma'am.
I was just trying to be a nice guy. I was just being a nice guy. Like, I was like, oh, we can, yeah, sure. I know a bunch
so
of, I have a bunch of improv friends, and I can, maybe this is something I can bring into improv. She wanted me to bring something, but not improv.
Some cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I made it back to the room, and I had a liter and a half bottle of water in my room that I had bought the night before. I bought two of them because you know you need that stuff.
Of course.
And so I'm talking with her on the phone, and she's legitimately concerned that I might be dying of alcohol poisoning. But again, I'm going to be okay because I'm a man. And she was like, okay, I'm fast forwarding through a lot of it, but she's like, okay, I want to see you get into, because we're FaceTiming, I want to see you get in bed, and I want to see you put your CPAP mask on. And so I go ahead and I do all that and hang up the phone. So the next morning comes, and I wake up and I realize that the maids at the Mirage, which had happened the night before as well, had unplugged my CPAP machine. So
oh, no.
So I had pulled the mask off. It was actually on the other bed. I had thrown it onto the other bed because instead of helping me breathe, it was actually impeding my breathing.
Oops. Or you got really upset with it, and you're like, this effing thing won't. It won't turn on. Just throw it across.
Yeah. So that was. But still, yeah. Up at 6 a.m. Took the long time to get ready, because not only that, I need to be in the thing. I needed to be packed out of the room and downstairs in a meeting at 7:30.
Oh yeah, those are the best.
Yeah. So that was Vegas, and I didn't feel great the next day, but I didn't have like the worst hangover in the world.
So winning.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen like winning. But it was a good time. Vegas was interesting, but a lot of pressure because, like, the thing that Kareem went to yesterday where you're networking, I'm constantly meeting new people that I've never met before that are in my industry, a lot of them in my company. So I can't have downtime. I have to be on all the time.
Yeah.
I can't just sit here and go, oh, okay. So it was 4 days of and
being on for 4 days.
I firmly believe that the only thing better than arriving in Vegas is getting to leave Vegas.
Yeah. There's a whole movie about it.
It's like time.
Don't leave it like that though.
Time to go. So
that's not good.
Anyway, while we were away, Chile obliterated Mexico in the Copa America quarterfinal, and somebody decided, you know what would be great? If we took the highlights and dubbed over wrestling announcer Jim Ross's audio to sort of match it. This is what it sounded like.
The big red machine tackle those poor son of a guns. Our amigos are in trouble. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Look out now. Ah! 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 What a shot! What a shot! You'll regret it the rest of your life!
Normally it's the other way around. You hear the goal guy. No, this time we're gonna hit the wrestling. So there you go. I thought that was delightful.
Did anybody watch the final?
No. Who won?
Chile.
Well, there you go.
Messi retires having won nothing.
He won an award for crying.
Did he cry? I don't know.
Yeah, he
cried. Poor little guy. That's how LeBron felt until
crybaby.
I guess.
Little crybaby. Meantime, back here in a sport that America still cares about a little bit, baseball, Vin Scully had some feelings about socialism that he decided to share during a Dodger game.
He can do no wrong.
Socialism failing to work as it always does,
oh, he sounds
this
cool.
time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free and all of a sudden, there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela? The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello. Anyway, 0-2.
and then he fell backward into the river.
No. Oh, hey. That makes me sad on multiple fronts. Buy your Farmer John's.
No.
So yeah,
Dodger baseball.
Yeah, oh, it's so exciting. He's decided to interject some thoughts on socialism, which is
Vin.
Yeah. Sometimes there's a little too much time, and maybe a co-host
baseball
in the booth would help.
Goes for goddamn ever.
Oh, Vin.
Yeah, color guy, maybe just like
goes for, what kind of guy?
Well, the guy to give a, you know, what I'm talking about.
We do. Meanwhile, a Colorado.
I'm a professional. What is that? Was like
a... Oh, you're looking for this?
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Meanwhile,
you are lucky I know what that means.
Meanwhile, a Colorado company is looking to help cat owners enjoy the experience of sharing a glass of wine with their pets. Why? Well, who cares?
Some of us just don't have other options.
The non-alcoholic beet-based cat wine was developed specifically for cats by Denver-based Apollo Peak. Cats can enjoy the company's products in two varieties, including the Pinot Meow and the Moscato.
I'm gonna bring back my not a thing.
But it is. All of our cat wine products have proprietary blend that includes all natural organically grown catnip, fresh beets, and natural preservatives to help hold
fresh
the taste
beets?
And color. Yes, beets.
Oh. Fresh beets.
Beets. Well, they believe in natural ingredients for
cats love beets.
For their particularly classy feline friends.
What?
And they love catnip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my cats are addicted to it.
Now, depending on how much they drink, the effects will vary. When cats smell catnip, they tend to get funny, move around, and play a lot. The exact opposite occurs when they ingest catnip. They normally become more mellowed when they drink the wine, so it might actually help those restless nights. Now, because it's made from natural ingredients, the wine is also safe for dogs and humans to drink. So, Jason, now it's non-alcoholic. You finally have a glass of wine you can have with friends.
Right? I can have it with my cats. I can sit there
White
with my
people
cats.
Have too much time on their hands.
No, this is called stoner, like, invention. This is like these guys got
they legalize marijuana, and they come up with cat wine.
Right,
so know, there you go.
It's a billion-dollar industry,
just
folks.
There's a lot of, like, sad. There's a lot of sad ladies out there who are like, I'm just going to stay home tonight with Friskies.
Yeah, no, Chris, I think that I might have saved Chris from becoming a...
What?
Her parents had already put a limit. Like, she couldn't get any more cats.
Oh,
like, they already told her that
no.
she couldn't have any more.
So she adopted you.
Yeah. You know,
so then
I gave her a baby.
So now
they cannot do that. I am a man.
What?
Yeah, that's the guy. The guy's view.
So you think.
The guy's view. I gave you a baby. The woman's view is like, you did this to me.
We'll see how beige he comes out.
I can't laugh too hard without peeing.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, Jim Ross. Jim Ross, the wrestling announcer. Jason.
Oh, because I think that he's... it's Tool. I'm sorry. It's just Tool. Wait a second.
Kareem?
I will punch you in the throat and rock bottom you. Jim Ross is forever cool.
Oh, I'm confusing Jim. Jim Ross is awesome. He's cool. I was thinking of Vince Scully.
Jim Jones. Yeah,
Vince Scully.
Christiana.
I have not rock bottom a white woman in a long time.
Well, I don't even know what rock bottom means. Have you done whatever it is to another kind of woman?
Yes.
It's foreplay where it
I'm
comes from.
I'm just going to go with Tool just because it's going to make Kareem mad.
Oh,
she should be DDT.
Baiting. Baiting.
Maybe a stunner. Jim Ross is cool.
Yeah.
God's sake. Vin Scully up next in Cooler Tool, Kareem.
He's Tool.
Christiana?
He is cool. And F anyone who thinks differently.
Jason?
This is who I meant to say Tool.
I'm How dare you. Tool.
All right. So, Vin Scully, under 80 years old, cool. Vin Scully after 80, Tool.
I'm going to have to go with Nate on that.
Yeah.
It's time to go and enjoy... Maybe enjoy yourself Farmer John's Frank in your own backyard.
Yeah.
Vin. And finally in Cooler Tool, wine. Wine, Christiana?
It's cool. The first couple glasses are cool.
Kareem?
Since I think it's like comparing the tastes of different kinds of sip, it's Tool.
Jason?
It may be the way that I got my wife in the baby way. So wine is definitely cool.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you. I mean, wine is cool. Anything that makes ladies happy is okay by me.
Everything, anything.
Sure.
My life's all about making my wife happy. Happy wife, happy life, Nate.
You know what? Where's Diana?
She's sleeping because she has to work early in the morning delivering Pepsi to the people.
I miss her.
That's going to do it for Cooler Tool. Now, we mentioned keeping women satisfied. It did not happen at the grocery store in Michigan. Bad times. Police are investigating a claim that a Michigan woman drop-kicked a custom birthday cake at a local supermarket there. WJBK reports the woman, who was neither arrested nor named by police, went to the Kroger Bakery on a Saturday... excuse me, and was dissatisfied with how the Batman versus Superman cake she ordered came out. The store did not have video of the incident, but employees said the woman then went behind the counter in an attempt to fix the cake herself and became further enraged when employees told her she was not allowed in the area, which caused her to drop kick the cake. According to the Detroit Free Press, reports said the woman caused pieces of cake and frosting to be strewn about the bakery section of the store and stepped on the cake several times.
Can we pause for a moment and just contemplate that somebody felt the necessity to phrase that sentence as caused cake and frosting?
This is the United Press International.
It's painful, though.
She then reportedly shouted an expletive while claiming the store, quote, ruined my 7-year-old's birthday cake and kicked over a wet floor sign while leaving the store.
Not the floor sign.
The woman...
Piso mojado.
She denies purposely drop-kicking the cake in a police interview and said the cake accidentally slipped out of her hand.
And she tried to catch it with her foot. It's right. A tale as old as time.
Sure. I mean, that's just what you do.
You can't confuse drop-kicking with a lot of things.
No, it's pretty evident, at least in my experience. You know, that sounded like something from a state we're more familiar with, a little further south and a little bit more phallically shaped. But no, that was in Michigan. And this is something different.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
Ah, yes. As soon as my webpage loads, I'll tell you all about a fight about yams.
Yams!
A man at a suburban West Palm Beach house party told investigators that he noticed some yams growing along the fence. Curious how big they were, the 47-year-old started to dig up a few, because that's what you do. Then Jeremy McCook approached him and told him to stop. That's according to the sheriff's report. They began to argue, and McCook pulled out a gun, hit the man over the head with it, and then shot him. Because hitting him over the head with the gun wasn't enough. McCook is being held in the Palm Beach County Jail on $50,000 bail on charges of aggravated assault, aggravated battery, possession of a firearm during a felony, and discharging a firearm in public. McCook does not appear to have any previous criminal history, at least not in Palm Beach County. The man who threw the party told investigators he heard the argument but tried to pay no attention and continue cooking. The next thing he knew, McCook was pointing a gun at the man who was digging up yams. Yeah. Others at the party gave the same account.
Get your hands off my yams.
You know, you don't want to touch another man's yams.
Exactly.
The injured man said after McCook hit him over the head with the gun, he pointed between his legs and then fired his weapon, not hitting him. Deputies recovered a spent .40 caliber bullet casing near the location. That's some Old West stuff right there.
You know what's funny is that they don't even sell actual yams in the United States. Yam is a starchy tuber thing that grows in Africa and is a staple of the diet. And what's sold here isn't a yam at all.
Well, maybe this was because it was being grown.
And then people call things sweet potatoes that they're actually really yams under the American name, but it's not really like a yam yam. Like if you went somewhere else in the world and got a yam, you wouldn't like it.
I just like saying yams.
Yams.
I'm just happy for once it was one of Kareem's people and not a white guy in Florida doing something like that.
Hey, well, you said they were still a yams. I already knew
quality
what it was. That's what people's yams. Also, told you to put them down. You would put them down.
That's right. Meanwhile, a Callaway man who fired a shotgun at his neighbor's home over a 22-year-old incident has been sentenced to 5 years in prison. His name is Gordon R. Travassos. He's 55. He entered a no-contest plea to charges of shooting into an occupied dwelling and using a firearm while under the influence. He was arrested back in January after the shooting shattered a living room window of a neighbor's home. He later admitted to firing a shotgun at the home, attributing his ire with the residents to an incident that occurred 22 years ago.
Hey, who among us doesn't procrastinate from time to time?
Yeah, right.
Holding a grudge. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison to be followed by 5 years of probation. No one was injured in the shooting, thankfully. The night of the shooting, the homeowners reported hearing glass shatter in their living room about 9:35 after what sounded like two loud gunshots. Deputies found two large holes in the windows with BB-sized holes in the plantation blinds. Shotgun blast. Just before the shooting, the Sauls had been in the living room where the pellets ripped through. The deputies then found two 12-gauge shells in the middle of the roadway just east of the residence.
Oh, man.
He was drunk, and then he thought about it.
Details of the incident are unclear. However, Travassos described what he did about the incident. He said that his daughter told him of an incident that occurred at the Saul's residence 22 years ago. He stated that he snapped and that he then took the shotgun and was going to kill Saul's. He stated that when he got to the street, he decided just to shoot the residents.
Yeah.
So he shot the residents and went back home.
Yep. I told you got drunk and was like, these sons of... Oh, well, we're not on that show yet.
We're not. Mind. That's coming up soon, though. So
I'll tell you all in the next show what really happened.
Here's what seems like a good idea.
Yeah, well, it's Florida, so we know something happened that didn't make a whole lot of sense, but... Here we go.
It made perfect sense.
To him at the time. Well, it made a lot of sense for me to call Leslie when I was completely drunk, too.
Yeah. Things make a lot of sense.
Yeah. It was like, you know, 4:30 in the morning where she was, but I'm like, this seems like a good idea. To be fair, I did apologize when I realized, oh, by the way, it's 4:30 where you are.
And then she was like, I cannot hang up with you because you might die.
Sort of. Not in so many words, you know. But again, I can handle it. I'm a man. This proved to be true, so I'm right.
There you go.
And here's the thing. To her credit, she did not get upset with me.
Aww.
Because she's awesome. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. Back on Monday with the Uncensored Show. There'll be some cussing. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. We got nothing to eat. We got nowhere to work. Nothing to drink. We just have the shirts. I'm on the go.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.